If you're involved in this Bible study, a part of the curriculum of the Florida Bible Institute, this is Bible Basic Training. Lesson 1, Born a Sinner. If you're involved in it, it's because you have an interest in getting grounded in the Word of God, and most likely you are a new convert, or you're one who has never really been discipled, and you're seeking to be discipled. The purpose of these basic Bible training lessons is to prepare individuals for a deeper understanding of the Word of God. We begin with very, very basic Bible lessons. With that in mind, we want to approach each and every lesson with a desire to become more grounded in the Word of God so that we can become more Christ-like and we can walk in victory, peace, power, and joy. Now, we have established already from the Scriptures that each of us were born with a sin nature. There are no exceptions. Since Adam and Eve, none have been born without a sin nature other than the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the Bible, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, was born with a sin nature. You say, preacher, where does the Bible say that even Mary, the mother of Jesus, was born with a sin nature? Real simple. Romans chapter 5, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 again. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To worship Mary is idolatry. To worship the mother of Jesus is idolatry. To worship any saint, any apostle, any disciple, any person other than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is idolatry. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, once again, proving to you that even Mary herself, the mother of Jesus, was born with a sin nature, the Word of God says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now stop and think about what I'm saying. Nobody had to teach you to lie, so why did you start lying? Nobody had to teach you to steal. Did you ever steal anything? Did you ever take anything that wasn't yours, even a crayon or a pencil or a paperclip? Did you ever take anything that did not belong to you? That was stealing. No one had to teach you to cheat. Did you ever cheat in school? Did you ever borrow some information from somebody else's paper and put it on your paper so it was your work? It's called cheating. Why is it that no one had to teach us to lie? I mean, your mother never sat you down one day, most likely, and said, now, child, today I love you, and because I love you, I'm going to teach you how to lie and get away with it. I'm going to teach you how to steal and get away with it. I'm going to teach you how to cheat and get away with it. I'm going to teach you how to go out and steal hubcaps and sell them for profit. I dare say that most of us never had a mother that sat down and talked to us that way. So, we understand that we all came out of the womb with a sin nature. You came out of the womb with a sin nature. How many sins does it take to make a sinner? How many sins does it take to make you a sinner? Only takes one. Only takes one sin, and once you commit that one sin, you have just proven that you have a sin nature, that it is your nature to sin. Only takes one sin. You see, you only have to rob one bank to be a bank robber. You only have to tell one lie to be a liar. You only have to commit one sin to be a sinner. Now, sin separates man from God. Sin puts man on a head-on collision course with the judgment of God because sin cannot go unnoticed by God, nor lacking judgment by God. Sin has serious, serious consequences. Unconfessed sin, sin that has not been forgiven, not only are we on a collision course with the judgment of God, but we're on a collision course with separation from God throughout all of eternity. I say again, sin has serious, serious consequences. I'm going to prove that to you even further in just a moment. Now, unless one is born again, you see, you were born with a sin nature. You hear us use the phrase born again. What do we mean by born again? It means you've got to be born again spiritually. You have been born fleshly. You've been born humanly speaking. But now you need to be born spiritually. And unless one is born again, they're going to live as a sinner. They're going to die as a sinner. And as one who dies as a sinner, they're going to be separated from God throughout all of eternity in a place that is called hell. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel and the king of Israel, realized he was born with a sin nature. David wrote in Psalms 51:5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity." In my mother's womb, he's talking about. In my mother's womb, I was shapen in iniquity. "And in sin did my mother conceive me." David recognized he was born with a sin nature. And of course, you will do what the nature you have convinces you and enforces in you. David, king of Israel, was reminded of that reality by Nathan, the prophet. The prophet Nathan had to go to him and confront him. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. Lust. Sensual, sexual lust. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then in order, trying to cover up his sin, when she found out she was pregnant, he sent to the battlefront where her husband was engaged in battle, had him brought home, thought he would go in and have sex with his wife, then he would think that the baby was his own. But Uriah did not go to his home and enjoy the comforts of home. He said, "Why should I enjoy the comforts of home when my comrades in arms are up there on the battlefield and they're fighting and been wounded and dying?" So he wouldn't do it. As a matter of fact, he stayed in the palace of David. To cover his sin, David had to have him killed in battle. And so the prophet Nathan was sent by God to rebuke David. And that's when David recognized the reality of his sin nature, recognized in reality that he was born with a sin nature. Once again, the Word of God says, and you're going to hear me say this two or three times now, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There are no exceptions. David repented of his sin, and that's why he wrote the 51st Psalm, lamenting his sinful condition. He was willing to acknowledge his sinful condition. He was willing to recognize his sinful condition. And he was confessing his sinful condition to God. Once again, there are no exceptions. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I cannot make exceptions where God does not make exceptions. And the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. So there are no exceptions. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. The person who says that they have not sinned calls God a liar. The person who says, "I am not a sinner, I am not sinning," just called God a liar. You've said, "God, you're a liar because I don't sin. I'm not a sinner." Yes, you were born with a sin nature. Popes, priests, nuns, pastors, preachers, Bible teachers, all have sinned. Every last one of us. There's not one single solitary individual in all the universe that has not sinned, is not sinning, and was not born a sinner. There is the initial forgiveness of sin when one is born again. When you are born again, There's the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. When you are born again, your sins, you see, that's why Jesus Christ went to the cross. On the cross, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin so that we, our sins, could be put to death in him. My sins were placed on Jesus when I came to Christ to be born again, admitting and confessing that I was a sinner, asking him to forgive me for my sins, to come into my life, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. My sins were placed on Jesus. My sins were then put to death in Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission." In other words, without the shedding of blood, sin could not be forgiven. In the truest sense of the word, there is that sense in which sin is not so much forgiven as it is put to death. In the Old Testament, they had sacrificial animals. An individual placed his hand on the heads of that animal, confessed his sin, and the sin was put to death in that animal after being placed on the animal by the sinner. In a sense, that's what we do when we come to Christ. We go up to the cross. We lay our hands on him. We confess we're a sinner. We place our sins on him, and those sins are put to death in him. Hebrews 9:22 again. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Blood had to be shed. Why? Because the life is in the blood. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Word of God says, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light," Jesus, "we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we walk in the light, you can't walk in the light till you're born again. You have to be born again in order to walk in obedience to his word. In obedience to the light of his word. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, those of us who have been born again, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What does that mean? It means that when I initially went to Christ Jesus, confessing I was a sinner, asking him to forgive me for my sin, to come into my life, to be my Lord, be my Savior, put my sins to death in himself. When I did that, and I was born again, now I'm still going to sin. Yes, there will be that critical spirit, that judgmental spirit, that whatever it may be, my thought life, whatever, I'm still going to sin. But once I am born again, and the blood of Christ has cleansed me from the sins of the past, the blood of Christ continues to cleanse me from all of my sin as I live day by day when I recognize that sin and confess that sin as sin. You see, it is as we confess our sins that the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us from our sins. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 speaks to every individual in the world. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We come to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Let me read that to you again now. This is how the Word of God, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The Word of God says it is appointed to man once to die, and after that the judgment. It is appointed. You have a date with death. I have a date with death. Every human being has a date with death. But praise God, when I die, I will not be judged for my sins, because my sins were judged in Christ Jesus. My sins were put to death in Christ Jesus. That's why on the cross Christ Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because in that instant in time and eternity, God the Father could not look upon God the Son because God the Son had become sin. He who knew no sin had become sin so that we who were born again could be made as righteous as God himself in Christ Jesus. Think of it. There was no sin anywhere in the universe. Perfect creation, perfect human bodies. There was only one prohibition placed on man initially. When God created man, there was only one point of reference around which he could choose to obey or disobey God. But there has to be points of reference around which you can choose to obey God or disobey God. And they made a bad choice. Adam and Eve made a bad choice. There was only one prohibition placed on them. There was only one point of reference around which they could choose to obey or disobey God. You and I come across several points every day where we can choose to obey or disobey God. They only had one. He created the Garden of Eden. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Now, he didn't mean they would die physically that day, but they would die spiritually. You see, they had no sin. They were created perfect, in perfect unity, perfect harmony with God the Father. They were created in perfection, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And they only had that one prohibition. God said, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Do you realize that that one act of disobedience by Adam and Eve opened the door to sin, sickness, disease, and death? That one act. That one act of disobedience, that one sin, opened the door to sin, sickness, disease, and death. Why? Because as an act of their will, they disobeyed the word of God. They disobeyed God. They submitted to the suggestion of Satan. And in doing so, sinned against God and gave Satan legal right to enter into and to afflict the human race. Do you realize that all sickness, all disease, all death is a result of that sin? Now, many times we suffer other things because of our own personal sins, the consequences of our sins. In the Word of God in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, God said, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die." Why did he say that? God is the origin of life. God is the origin of life. As the creator of life, all souls are his in the sense that he created them. God said all souls are mine. He's the origin of life, the creator of life. Therefore, all souls are his because he created them. And understand this. Every single soul that has ever existed throughout, will exist throughout all of eternity. Every single solitary soul that has ever existed is going to exist throughout all of eternity. Some in the presence of God in heaven, in the new heavens and the new earth, which God's word tells us is going to occur. So some souls, every soul, is going to exist throughout all of eternity. Some of us who've been born again would exist throughout all of eternity in the presence of God, Christ the Son, the Holy Spirit, all the saints that have gone on who were born again, all of those who've been born again, but others will be separated from God for eternity. Those who have never been born again, the Word of God tells us, will be separated from God and will exist for eternity separated from him in eternal punishment in a place called hell.
that was never designed for man. That was designed for Satan and the angels that conspired against God, rebelled against God, and were cast out of heaven. In Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, we have a story of a man who was separated from God throughout all of eternity. And I'd like to take you there, if I may. I'd like to read that to you and help you better understand what we say by separation from God for eternity. In Luke chapter 16, and beginning with verse 19. Jesus is teaching this. He says this, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence where you are cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Now, Adam Clark was an extremely, extremely sharp commentator back in the 1700s. He was born in 1760, died in 1832. And here's what he says about that portion of Scripture. Quote, This account of the rich man and Lazarus is either a parable or a real history. If it be a parable, it is what may be. If it be a history, it is that which has been. End quote. That was his comments on that portion of Scripture. The truth contained in these Scriptures are worthy of our thoughtful consideration. When you go to the Word of God in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, these verses contain the standards by which God wanted His people to live. These are those in the Old Testament. As we examine these Scriptures, we may find places where we ourselves have violated God's standards. We in our own way have committed idolatry. Where I live does not define me. What I wear does not define me. What I drive does not define me. What defines me is my relationship with Jesus Christ. My life lived in submission and surrendership to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. My identity with God through being born again, that is what defines me. When we evaluate our life, we must take into consideration that which God approves and that which God disapproves. We need to consider very carefully what God approves and what God disapproves. God gave us the Ten Commandments. Then we have the Mosaic Law. We have the standards and the requirements by which God wanted His people to live to glorify Himself. Praise God, Jesus fulfilled all the law. We could not fulfill the law. We couldn't measure up. Nobody ever could. God knew that when He gave us the law. But He intended to become flesh Himself. The Word of God tells us in Colossians chapter 2, 9, that in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus fulfilled all the law. And when I was born again, when you were born again, he accounts it to those who have been born again as if they had fulfilled the law. Did you get that? Jesus fulfilled the law. And for those of us who have been born again, and those who are born again, he accounts it to them as if they had fulfilled the law. Jesus summed up the standards for the children of God, for those who have been born again. This is the standard now for those who have been born again. He was talking to some religious leaders one day, and they wanted to know which was the greatest commandment and this and that and the other. And Jesus said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Now listen to me carefully. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." That's Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Then we get to Mark 12:31. "And the second is like it, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Now, in order to obey this word, you have to be born again, because you cannot do this in your own strength. You cannot love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, unless you're indwelt by, enabled by, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you can only be indwelt by, enabled by, and empowered by the Holy Spirit when you are born again. So if you want to obey this word, you must be born again. In order to obey the word of God, you've got to be born again. Having been born a sinner, the only way to escape the judgment of God and the penalty of God is to be born again. That is the only way you will ever escape the judgment of God and the penalty of God. It is to be born again. There was a religious man. Matter of fact, he was one of the religious leaders in Jerusalem. But he had a concern. As religious as he was, he realized that something was lacking. He knew he was not ready to go out into eternity, die, and meet God. He knew that. Even though he was a very, very religious man, and he was teaching, you know, what he knew of the Word of God, he was teaching the Old Testament. But he came to Jesus one night. Why he came at night, we're not really sure. But in John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, if you'll come with me there. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him.'" Well, Jesus knew where he was going with this conversation, and Jesus cut right to the chase. He cut right across everything the man was saying. Look at verse 3. "Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" That's Christ Jesus. That's the Son of God. That's God in the flesh. That's the Messiah saying, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Nicodemus was a man, a religious man. I'm telling you, there's many, many people today involved in religious activity who do not understand this truth. And because they do not understand this truth, they do not embrace this truth. And because they do not embrace this truth, they go out into eternity when they die without Christ. And they'll never see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus simply didn't understand. Religious? Oh, yes, very, very religious. Oh, yes. Involved in all kinds of religious activity. You can be involved in religious activity 7 days a week and die without Christ and go to hell. So Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." In other words, you have been born naturally. You've been born physically, but now you must be born again spiritually. You must be born again spiritually. You have been born in a natural human body, and you were born with a sin nature. Now, to be right with God and to be ready for eternity, and to be ready to go out into eternity, you must be born again. Look at it again, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Look at verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh," human. Human. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." There's a spiritual side of it. You must be born again. You must be reborn. You must be born again. You've been born in a human body. You've been born in the natural. You've been born in the flesh. Now you must be reborn of the Spirit. How does that happen? By coming to Jesus Christ in simple, childlike faith, admitting and confessing that you're a sinner, asking Christ to come into your heart in faith, simply saying to Him, "I'm a sinner, and I believe you're the Son of God. I want to believe. I want to receive. I want to receive you as my Lord and my Savior." That's how it's done. You must confess and admit you're a sinner. Be willing to receive and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for your sins, that He rose again from the dead, that He sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven today. So then Jesus said in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again." Nicodemus, don't marvel at this. Don't marvel at the fact that I said you must be born again. Now what Jesus said to Nicodemus applies to every living soul in the universe. To every living soul in the universe. If you would enjoy the presence of God and the new heavens and the new earth throughout all of eternity after you die, you must be born again. There is no substitute. There's no other way. Now the question is, have you personally been to Jesus, confessing you're a sinner, and asking Him to be your Lord and to be your Savior, asking Him to let you be born again, as He says you must be? If not, why not? If not, why not now? Would you make that decision for Christ Jesus? Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the privilege of teaching this for our basic Bible training course right here at Challenge Ministries. I pray, Father God, that every individual who listens to this and hears this will be encouraged and will come to You confessing they're a sinner, if they have not already been saved, that they will come to You telling You they are sinners, admitting they're sinners, and asking You to forgive them for their sin, come into their life, be their Lord, be their Master, and be born again. And then when they go out into eternity, be welcomed into heaven and into the presence of God the Father, God the Son, in all that You have to offer in eternity. And this I ask in Jesus' name, and I thank You, my Father and my God. Amen and amen.